Welcome aboard. It's the Mark Reardon Show. Mark is back on Friday, tomorrow, and everybody's happy about that. This is John Hancock filling in. And one of the things that we've noticed, and we just had a news conference today that's going to be our cut of the day in the next segment, from Jeanine Pirro, who is the now confirmed U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, talking about juvenile crime, and who better to help us understand what's happening out there on the streets than the former St. Louis County Police Chief. He's also a former St. Louis County Councilman. Our good friend Tim Fitch, who is going to be on the roundtable in the 3 o'clock hour with Mark Reardon tomorrow. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing great, John. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to having Mark back. And so from your perspective, how big of a problem is juvenile crime in the overall, I'm talking about crimes of violence primarily, is it about the same as it was a decade or two ago? Is it getting worse? Does it make up a disproportionate share of the actual criminal activity?
It definitely makes up a disproportionate share. If you just look at crimes committed for those under 25, that's the biggest segment of offenders. We talk often about, you know, clearing out prisons and letting people go. And if you really want to make an impact on prison population, you let the older crowd go, you know, 45 and up. Typically they represent quite a few that are in jail, but they don't repeat offend like juveniles do. Juveniles just aren't at that maturity level, and they have a lot of peer pressure that gets them involved in these things. But what I'm telling you that I'm seeing still is that juveniles, these crimes are getting younger and younger and younger. It's amazing the youth of some of these violent offenders. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, but it's not getting any better.
Because you're seeing now very violent crimes being committed by 13 and 14-year-old kids. And they of course, go to the juvenile justice system where, you know, there's not really held to account for what they have done. It's not an easy thing to adjudicate a juvenile as an adult. It's done, but it's not a simple process to do that. And one of the things that I wonder about, and maybe you know the answer to this, how much of the juvenile, I'm talking about the under 18 crime, is gang related?
Well, there's certainly some of that, and they're easily influenced, and gangs kind of replace, you know, parental, that you usually see parental supervision. The gangs kind of do that, except their supervision is a little different. They basically insist on them getting involved in crimes at younger and younger ages. And these older youth, you know, the ones that are 17, 18, 19, they'll actually enlist these younger people because they know if they get caught, they're juveniles. So very little is going to be done to them. So you see a lot of that as well. But as far as gangs go, yeah, certainly. We have gangs in the St. Louis area and have as long as I've been in law enforcement. I don't think they have any more influence than they ever have had. But what we are seeing is a whole lot less of parental supervision of these young people because many of the parents aren't a whole lot older than the kids. And, you know, they had their issues when they were kids, and they just kind of let the kids do whatever they want to do. You know, why are they out at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning? Why doesn't the parent know that they're out at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning? That's the interesting part. You start to see states starting to criminalize some of the actions of the adults, the parents, that their children commit.
I was going to ask that, Tim and Sue. I mean, how do you battle that, right? If they're sending out more kids, the older kids know that the younger kids are too young to get actually punished for it, and the parents don't care, what do you do?
Well, like I said, I think it's going to be remains to be seen if it's successful. These states that are now charging the parents with the crimes that the kids are committing. Typically, you know, we've seen this in the city of St. Louis on the 4th of July, where they charge the parents with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. By the way, all these charges, for the most part, we're talking about, and I know what the attorney, U.S. attorney said in D.C., but it's rare the feds ever get involved in juvenile crime. It's rare because, you know, the feds typically will allow juvenile crime to be prosecuted in the state system. So I'm not sure exactly what the feds are going to do about the juvenile crime in D.C.
If the parents don't care that the kids are out and about, are they going to care that they get charged?
Typically not. And a lot of times you find out these parents, a lot of them have records themselves. So it's not terribly unusual. And if they get charged with a, you know, crime like contributing, it's probably not that big of a deal to them. And then what do you do? Do you take the parent and put him in jail? Then who's going to watch the kids?
Exactly.
The state?
Oh.
It's a terrible cycle.
How thoroughly do our local police understand precisely who the problems are in mm-hmm. these communities? But, you know, by name, you keep an eye on that kid because he's, you know, do you have a pretty good sense of who the likely committing crimes are?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ask any beat officer in any jurisdiction, whether it be the city or one of the municipalities or the county police, who's the troublemakers in your sector, in your beat. And they will know exactly who that handful, who they are, where they're at. Are they in? Are they out? Who do they hang with? What kind of vehicles are they usually found in? What kind of crimes they like to commit? Cops are very good at knowing that in their beats.
And it is a handful, right? I mean, we're not talking about just rampant everybody's a crook.
That's right. It's the same ones over and over for the most part. That's why they know them. You know, you'd ask any officer, you know, hey, we had three cars broken into on the street last night, and they'll say it was probably this guy or that guy. It'd be very narrow.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess that's encouraging to know. And so much of that kind of property crime is being committed by juveniles. So there you have it. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts. We talked to Steve Ellman today about this new regional police training facility. Is that something that excites you as a former police chief?
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen some of the plans. I understand what it's all about, how it's going to be funded. It's going to be a game changer for law enforcement in the St. Louis metro area. The only thing that still stuns me is the city of St. Louis yeah. Police Department not involved, that they have not gotten involved in this. And I was hoping maybe the new mayor would jump on board. But when I went to the police academy way back in 1983, I went to the academy in the city of St. Louis, huh. You know, on Clark Street. That's where everybody went to the academy. The county police, the municipal officers, and the city police all went to the academy. And then it was moved out to Wellston, where the current county academy is, and it's old as well. So this new academy is going to be state-of-the-art. It's going to be a very proud facility for any police officer to graduate from or attend in-service training.
Hey, Tim, we were asking Steve Ellman about that, and I was like, is the city going to get in on this? And he said he does have some hope that that will happen. But, you know, it just seems weird and nebulous to me. She should just say, yes, we want in the end. Why do we have to float around? It drives me crazy.
Well, you know, we tried to get the city police involved in the New County Academy, then New County Academy, yeah. when it opened in Wellston. And they said, nope, can't do it. It's not in the city of St. Louis, so we will not participate. And if you know where the academy is, it's like a half mile from the city boundary. Said, nope, it's got to be in the city. I don't know if it's that mentality going on with the city police or nobody could teach us law enforcement. We want to teach our own people law enforcement. Well, I hate to say this, but the POST Commission, that's the licensing for the state of Missouri, they tell you what training you have to have. Now, you can add a lot more training, but I will tell you that city police officers and county police officers and municipal officers are all trained pretty much the same way, because that's what state law requires.
I see. Well, we were happy to hear today that somebody is going to run against Sam Page.
Yes, Senator Brian Williams, who's been actually talking about doing this for probably nearly a year now. I personally talked with him about it at one point where he was undecided. His question to me was, well, are you going to run? And my answer was absolutely not. But I will tell you, in interest of full disclosure, I'm the treasurer for Dennis Hancock's campaign for county executive, the Republican candidate who's currently serving in my old seat in the 3rd District on the county council. So I suspect Brian Williams is going to have a pretty easy time beating Sam Page, because the issue with Sam Page right now that he's under indictment is he can't raise money. He's not able to raise any money. That's the issue, whether or not he gets convicted or not. Not many people are going to donate to a local candidate who's under indictment, so they will look for alternatives. And now that Brian Williams, I think, has popped up a little earlier than he wanted to, we'll probably start taking all of those campaign dollars from Sam Page.
Well, you worked with Sam Page for a number of years. Just by observation, your thoughts, is he likely to try and survive this thing out and run for office again, or is he likely to step aside?
Well, I think it depends what happens next. I'm going to tell you this. The other shoe hasn't dropped yet. I really, truly believe there's more coming against Sam Page. We just haven't heard it yet. It hasn't been disclosed yet. So you remember they took his phone
yep.
as part of the search warrant. The highway patrol took his phone. I've heard some conversations that there is more coming. So Sam Page isn't through this yet. So do I think he'll survive the next, 14 months on his term? He may be able to push it out that far, but I do believe we've seen the end of Sam Page's reign.
Woohoo!
How about that? That's a bold prediction from Tim Fitch. And he is the treasurer for the Republican, only announced Republican candidate, Dennis Hancock, no relation, the county councilman from the 3rd District. And really appreciate your thoughts on this juvenile crime problem, because it is a problem. And it's a big chunk of the crime problem. Tim Fitch, and thank you so much, sir.
All right, talk soon.
All right, we'll hear you tomorrow on the Roundtable with Mark Reardon. We're going to step aside right now, Ethan, Sue, and I, and it is time for the quote of the day. And we're going to take that on right after this short break on News Talk, 90-whatever we are, 97.1 FM Talk.